And now for something completely different.
It's a rich man's world. Forget everything you've been told by others before. Get ready for the real deal, the full story. Real talk about money, markets, life. Now, it's The Real Investment Show, presented by RIA Advisors.
And welcome to the Friday edition, Financial Fitness Friday of The Real Investment Show. I'm Rich Rosso, Certified Financial Planner, here with Danny Ratliff, Certified Financial Planners Squared. And we're here to talk about a lot of different things today. And one is, of course, the market. You know, we've sort of been, we sort of peaked, got a little bit overdone, overheated. Start to pull back here a little bit, which is customary before you hit the Thanksgiving Day holiday. And so just sort of treading water here. You know, obviously, we're still up in the air with trade talks. We don't really understand what's going on there. We seem to get that proverbial carrot that gets dangled that we're going to get a deal, and then we don't get a deal. So obviously, markets are anticipating that, but the NASDAQ futures up 26, Dow S&P futures up 5, Dow implied open is 51 points. So, just sort of not interested. Interested in anything until there's some news for the markets to be interested in.
It's almost been a boring week, kind of just treading water, slogging along. You know, we've had some bad, I guess, earnings reports in some senses, and that future guidance has looked down.
Some of the retailers really got hammered. You know, Kohl's, for example, Home Depot. Boy, it's tough. I think it's tough to be Kohl's because you're sort of, where are you? Are you, like, when it comes to the realm of retailers, are you Target? Are you JCPenney? You know, you're almost like Jan on the Brady Bunch. You don't really know where you fit. It fit in. Oh, Jan. Remember Marsha? So, you know what I mean? So, I think they do a great job. I think they have really good leadership. But, boy, what a challenge to manage that business.
Well, it has at least to be. I think so. And there's some type of relationship with Amazon now. I don't know exactly what it is, but
you can return your goods.
Yeah,
I think,
we bought some stuff from Amazon not long ago, and my wife took it up to Kohl's. She's like, it kind of feels weird returning stuff here. Like, is this real? What's happening?
I don't understand this. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's an interesting concept. So I wonder what that overall relationship is. Maybe they're helping them with marketing or maybe an online presence?
Maybe. I mean, you know, it's a good point, but I can see how you would feel sort of odd.
Yeah, as you can see, I haven't done much research on the actual fact of what happens or why you do that, but something's got to be there.
I mean, obviously. And again, maybe it's like, I shall embrace my enemy. keep your enemies close. It's the Michael Corleone of business tactics. Come and bring everything here. We'll take care of it.
So speaking of big news in the markets, right? Everybody has this new Tesla truck out. Have you seen it?
Listen, I was just talking about this.
Okay.
And I don't understand it. And maybe it's my age, but it's allegedly cyberpunk. So it's like Blade Runner and The Spy Who Loved Me Had a Baby. This is what it is.
Yeah, I think it should be in RoboCop or Terminator. I feel a little bit better, right?
Doesn't it feel like a Terminator, right?
Yeah.
Or RoboCop kind of thing. But the funny part was they did an onstage demo, and they supposedly had break-proof glass, and the glass broke. Why would you go out and buy a first iteration of anything? But this is a large, metallic kind of thing. And, Brent was lamenting about, how do you haul stuff in it? I don't know how.
Well, it has an actual bed to it. Mm-hmm. It just looks funky. If you see it from the side, I had to actually find some pictures. So I was like, this doesn't look like a truck, but it is. So it does have an actual bed. I see a lot of blind spots. I know Tesla's really good with the cameras, but you know, I'm that conspiracy theorist. What if North Korea takes out all of our electricity?
Yeah, it doesn't look like the kind of a truck that a manly man would drive.
No, it certainly doesn't.
There's no beef on it.
There's something that's got to be pretty cool with it, but I'm sure it has lots of neat features. But from a looks perspective, it leaves a lot to desire, at least in my book.
You don't like it?
No.
You know what I wish the truck manufacturers would do is make the bed so it would tilt so you can clean it out.
Kind of like a dump truck?
Kind of like a dump truck, just a little bit of a hydraulic lift on it. Maybe give it about 10 or 15 degrees.
Brent wants it to be like his recliner in front of the TV that lifts
him
out.
Go to bed. Last time I used the truck to haul some dirt for the yard, could not get it cleaned out.
So that's pretty...
No, but that actually is a good point, because how would you, with all the... You know, you really would be great to have it almost like a dump truck kind of concept to that.
We go get mulch. It's terrible.
Mulch is the worst. Yep. Mulch will be there till you sell the truck. Yeah, you'll
forever.
Still find mulch.
Are you
mulch.
Listening, Detroit?
I don't think they make trucks in Detroit anymore.
So that's pretty interesting, though,
San Antonio.
Oh, yeah. In Austin, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy, though, that the glass breaks. You think that they'd figure this stuff out prior to actually doing this stuff?
Like, well, they took a sledgehammer to the body and a metal ball to the glass. But it didn't break the glass.
It shattered.
But Elon Musk said that the truck was bulletproof against the 9mm handgun. I wouldn't want to test it. I would not. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. All these people come out. It's like Chris Cuomo on Air. Did you guys see what he did with he called his mom? He's trying to make a point saying that you could overhear a conversation. So Trump was lying, that saying that one of the guys who was testifying in his impeachment trials was essentially that it was true because you could actually overhear a conversation when somebody's talking. So he calls his mom on air. And it wasn't planned very well, or she didn't get what was supposed to happen because she couldn't hear him and you couldn't hear her. And so then he finally has to put her on speakerphone, and everybody else is kind of getting after him. So it's kind of funny. So go look that up.
Wow. She's not as sharp as David Letterman's mom was.
No. But what happened there?
David Letterman's mom was always showing up on the show.
Yeah.
She always had some good stuff.
Yeah.
She had some good stuff. Well, in all fairness, I mean, with the phone and the studio, may not. Oh,
Chris.
Boy. Let me tell you.
Well, just things you think you would practice ahead of time, right?
Hey, the one thing I want to mention, too, is about bonds. And, just the 10-year treasury is at about 1.4749. We've peaked a little bit. I think it will be close to 1.9%, pulled back a little bit. Please do not expect bonds to be at anywhere near, as someone I was talking in the elevator yesterday and lamenting about how the 10-year was going to be at 4%. And I really tried hard not to laugh. And I said, you should listen to the Real Investment Show.
But that is the overall sentiment. That's something that we've heard for years, that, you know, you get these big time strategists that come on air and say, hey, you know, interest rates are going up. The economy is going to continue to run. And I think that's just a hard pill to swallow when you start thinking about the overall debt, what's going on, and looking at the landscape of interest rates across the globe. But we'll get back to that and more here. You listen to The Real Investment Show, AM 700. I'm Danny Ratliff here with Rich Rosso. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Follow us on Twitter at Real Investment Advice or go to realinvestmentadvice.com.
2019 is drawing to a close. Get ready for a successful 2020 with our RIA advisor's free financial planning tool, MyBlocks. It's our online modular manager for your money and your life. Does your vision of retirement match up to reality? MyBlocks can help to determine how much you'll need and how you can achieve. What worries you about your money? Create your own personal financial vision for the next decade with MyBlocks, our free tool at RIAAdvisors.com. Click on the Client Portal tab, RIAAdvisors.com.
So do you have a favorite song when you're driving into the office, Brent?
I think it's this, right?
You know, I listen to Red Eye Radio when I'm driving in.
Oh, Gary.
Yeah.
Gary McNamara, man. He's the man.
Yeah.
I really like Red Eye Radio.
They're on top of things, and it kind of gives me an update without all that garbage. And so that's what I listen to coming in.
Yeah, sometimes in the middle of the night I'll listen to that and coast to coast. But Gary does a great job. Hi, Gary. Gary's a friend. I listen to Highway to Hell. Because it seems appropriate. So I crank AC/DC up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and just cruise along.
Good stuff, Maynard.
It's You know, Brent was a real rocker in his day.
Oh, I know.
I think he's still there now.
I think so. It's hidden.
I was one of the last freeform album-oriented rock jocks.
I know that. The real jocks.
Yeah, there was no format. You just made them sound good.
Just like the good guys, WABC,
yeah.
New York.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I grew up on AM radio. Yeah. Man, I love those guys. They were always amazing. I was in love with DJs because of they really brought so much personality. Yeah. Boy, today is such a different story. Thank you, Corporate America, for killing radio. Except for this station. Because it stays...
KSEV is a single, standalone, privately owned kind of deal.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Thank you for that. Great programming.
That's what radio stations are supposed to be like.
Supposed to be. Exactly. Exactly. For sure. So we were talking about bonds, and I will tell you this. The one thing I worry about, Danny, is people are seeing appreciation in their bonds, right? Because of we've seen negative interest rates... Germany, Japan, right? So money is coming over here to our bonds, more attractive. 1.7 is better than negative, right?
Oh, yeah.
And also, obviously, a very accommodative Fed, lower economic growth. I mean, all this portends to bonds, if you've purchased them, they have been an element of cap. They have been capital appreciation, not income components. I worry about when that happens because then people lose sight of what bonds are supposed to do in the portfolio because their stocks have gone up, their bonds have gone up. If they've owned gold and commodities, that's gone up. Right now you get a little bit misled as to what bonds are supposed to do in the portfolio.
Well, that's right. And for years you've had to buy them at such an appreciation at a premium. And so when you've looked at this... typically that's something that we talk clients through. Like, okay, look, when you look at your statement, it's going to see a little bit of red here, and that's not all bad. We're in this for the income and the safety of principal.
Mm-hmm.
And now you see this, all the green. It's like, wow. And hey, look, it feels good. I don't like pulling something up and seeing any red.
Yeah.
But, I think changing perspective on this to understand that, look, we're likely to see this for some time, but I don't think this is where you're going to go for growth these days. Now, we're going to see that rotation from stocks to bonds at some point, as we've continued to see whenever the market gets volatile. There seems to be a run to the safe assets, the safe havens.
If there's a flight to safety, right, where things get more volatile and it's risk off, and even though there have been periods of risk off this year, bonds have not really budged dramatically because, again, we've got negative rates. And we're still the cleanest dirty shirt here in the U.S., but I think our fourth quarter GDP is supposed to be something like 1.3%, 1.2%. So, again, we're sort of stuck in a muck here. So your bonds might work, but I just don't want everybody to think that bonds are appreciation vehicles. They just have been. And you've got to be really careful, one, when you buy individual bonds, because we tend to like individual bonds. They must be the highest quality because of the debt load that sits on the books of corporate America. You would be shocked that some of the biggest companies out there are sort of drowning in debt. And thanks to these low interest rates, it's not a problem. But if interest rates eventually adjust, you've got to be careful. So what we did is we used anything that looked anywhere near. And again, they could be listed as investment grade by the so-called bond rating systems. But we look at them and say, no. We need something even more high quality. And if you're going to buy exchange-traded funds, you've got to be, again, very careful. One, there's a mix of bonds in many of them. And the mandate is to purchase international bonds. And again, these bonds are at negative yields. Keep that in mind. So we have been really in this treasury, 100% treasury space for the entire year. And I don't see any reason to change that.
And this is a hard conversation to have, I think, because if you pull up JNK right now, it's a junk bond, high yield ETF, you're going to see really good returns for the year. Year to date, it's up to like 12%, which is fantastic. But it has the underlying investments that it owns or give us a little bit of heartache here or heartburn. It is a lot of things that are going to be, obviously junk rated. This is actually one of the ones I like because it's JNK is the ticker. because it actually lets you know it's junk,
it does.
Really most of them are hidden. It's like, oh, this is extended credit. Oh, it's high yield. No. It is junk. And so that's what you have to remember when you're buying these things. These are companies that either have bad credit, they have too much debt. It's going to be difficult for them to service this. Their outlook may not look as good. And so it's a lot easier for them maybe to not make those payments to the creditor, which is you. And so you have to keep those things in mind, and that's why we're staying out of these areas at the moment.
When rates are low, you got to think about that it covers up a lot of bad things. In other words, when liquidity is there or bond rates are low and the Fed's very accommodative, or central banks in general, the cracks sort of get, I don't know, sort of like how we fill streets in Houston. You know, then another week later, there's the hole in the same space. What I'm saying is it masks a lot of things. And one of those things is the fact that these junk bonds seem to be doing well because of where rates are. And people chase yield because, listen, we get it. People want income. They need income. But think about your principal loss. That's the more important thing. You might do something like adjust something in your budget or then opposed to just getting what I call seduced by yield because, frankly, what should you be? You're earning maybe 4 or 5% yield on JNK?
No, it's gone up a little bit.
What is
I think.
Six?
six or seven, okay, which has been a long time. But the credit quality, it's not like they're sitting at triple B. We're talking about the majority of their debt is double B, B, triple C, or not even rated.
Not even rated. So think about this. You should be getting, for that kind of risk, in my opinion, 10 to 15%. Okay, that's where you're worth maybe looking at the risk. I mean, you got to look at a lot of other things. But if you're basing your fact that, oh, this is paying 5-6% and I'm only getting 2, and that's the way you're making a decision, wrong decision. And again, I see advisors make decisions like this as well because they don't understand the mechanics of what's going on underneath or the macroeconomy.
Yep.
So you got to be very, very careful. That is why toward the end of the year, if you need a portfolio assessment, you need to understand what you own. That's what we're here to do. People email us every day, all day. We're not here to sell things to you. We're here to help you. So we have helped so many people with allocations. You email Lance. Lance, I mean, he's so quick, an hour later. Or we're there on the weekends. Lance and I are responding to emails. So if there's something you need to look at or have a question, it's very important for you to reach out. No one's going to put you on a list. No one's going to sell anything to you. But we help people. And those of you who listen to the show who have done this know this for a fact, that you're not pressured to buy anything, come over to our group, whatever it is. Because we learn from you. It's really great, even when I meet people that come in, they go, well, how much for this? And I'm like, no. You've just given me a wealth of information because it's really good to understand what people are thinking and going through. It's so valuable because then we can share that with the rest of the audience. And I don't know, but there's a value to that, isn't there, Danny?
Absolutely.
To learn what's on somebody's mind and help them, but at the same time communicate it to everybody else, I think is incredibly important.
You know, we got so much information from clients that we can share in many ways, you know, confidentially.
Yes.
Just the underlying themes that are and concerns that people have, I think, is huge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from our listener audience as well, I think that's a big thing. And so, you know, don't hesitate. You have questions, thoughts, concerns, things you want us to talk about. You know, I got an email last week of a long list of things for the newsletter that we can add in.
Yep.
that, you know, very informative things that I hadn't even thought of. So always good to know what you guys are thinking about, what's important to you, because that's what's important to us. And so we want to make sure you guys understand that, have a wealth of knowledge surrounding that, and feel educated, because I think education is empowerment. And when it comes to your money, that is something that everybody needs.
It does. I think many times in financial industry is everybody feels that they know more than you and they talk above you. And that's always been a problem. And I disdain that. We do. What you'll see next year, we'll have a whole slew of new Lunch and Learns here on Social Security and Medicare and long-term care. And the goal is for you to come in and have a little lunch, but most important is to really pick up something that's going to help you avoid a big mistake that can last forever. When people don't enroll properly in Medicare, right? How many times have we seen this, Danny? then get told information that, oh, no, you don't need to go on Medicare because you have COBRA, or, need to take Social Security at 62. And these are from alleged professionals, or people will listen to their neighbor and go, that's what my neighbor did, so I'm going to do it.
People do that more than probably listen to professionals, unfortunately.
I think so.
And there could be some good and some bad with that. And it's usually the guy says, oh, this guy's really wealthy. He did really, really good job. But look, everybody's not the same. That's why you need a customized financial plan. You need to understand what you own, how it impacts you, what the overall strengths and weaknesses in your portfolios are. And those are things that we help clients do on a day-to-day basis. So don't hesitate to reach out. Don't hesitate to start digging in the weeds and understanding exactly what you're doing and what's the overall impact for you and your family.
When we get back, we're going to talk about something that I've come up with someone I met with last week. What's the difference between a trader and an investor? What does the market say? What does the financial industry say about that when it comes to what you do with your money? Hey, you're listening to The Real Investment Show on 700 KACV, The Voice of Texas. We'll be right back.
Real Investment Show podcasts are now available on iTunes.
Listen anyplace, anytime
at itunes.com.
2019 is drawing to a close. Get ready for a successful 2020 with RIA Advisor's free financial planning tool, MyBlock. It's our online modular manager for your money and your life. Does your vision of retirement match up to reality? MyBlocks can help determine how much you'll need and how you can achieve. What worries you about your money? Create your own personal financial vision for the next decade with MyBlock, our free tool at RIAAdvisors.com. Click on the client portal tab. RIAAdvisors.com.
Welcome back to the Real Investment Show. I'm Danny Ratliff here with Rich Rosso. So, you ever read the book Scarlet Letter by Nathaniel Hawthorne? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I sure
do. They put the big A for an adulterer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a mark of shame. Do you know what that big A is in the financial industry?
T.
You put a big T for trader, right? And so it's interesting the stigma surrounding with actually selling something in the financial industry. We talk about this frequently, that everybody knows how to buy something, but most people don't have a strategy to get out, that exit strategy. But the moment you buy or you sell or you take advantage of dips in prices or maybe changes in the overall economic landscape, you're deemed a trader, and even at that, sometimes day trader.
How dare you?
Yeah. So a really interesting kind of observation is that Scarlet T, and really, you know, what we hope to do here is kind of give you an idea as far as what that means and as far as being a trader or actually selling something.
I think the industry wants to make you feel guilty. I had someone that called a broker and no trades all year to sell a stock and buy another one. Are you a trader now? It is amazing because of this moniker you're given or this letter that you're giving, just because you may take control of your own investments and sell something and buy something else. Or how dare you ask an opinion about something that you own? Like, why did we buy this? Like, why do we own XYZ company? Why do we still own this? You know, it is your right to ask the question. Now, again, there are people who trade every day, and they may rack up so many trades, especially now that there's no commission, okay? But for the most part, if you're working with a money manager, risk management to make trades, take profits, move away from losers, rebalance, this is all part of what you're supposed to do, okay? When you buy an investment, you eventually have to sell an investment. You don't buy an investment just buy it, right? In other words, you have a goal. It's a price target. You hopefully have done research. You have to fund something, right? There's a harvest time of your life for investments. It could be college, right? You have a 529. Now you're taking money out, right? That's liquidating in the investment and using the cash. You're in retirement and you need to recreate a paycheck, right? You are allowed to make a sale, you are allowed to ask questions about investments that you own. And I find that investors seem very intimidated, or they just don't want to rock the boat to ask questions. And it puzzles me. And in this industry, Lance gets deemed a trader many times, and he's not. Okay, I've known Lance 15 years. When we build portfolios, we work around edges. If something's not working, yes, we have parameters to buy and sell. But for the most part, we are trimming profits and investments, profits and sectors, right?
Or getting out altogether based on the economic landscape. I mean, there's lots of things that change, right?
But we're not actually going in there every day to trade just for ticks, you know, moves in a stock price. That's and again, people who do that, that's fine. I have nothing against that.
I think it's important to understand that maybe a little background, yeah, too, is that, you know, when we place trades, there's no commissions involved as far as what we receive, right? And so there are guys out there that do receive commissions for trading. Now, so you'll hear those guys and you hear from them from time to time. And I think, you know, one of the things that you mentioned was that, you know, people feel maybe afraid to call somebody or their advisor and say, hey, you know, question on a trade. They say, what are you, a trader? Well, it's probably because they haven't thought of this first. So what happens, we see, is that the buy and hold strategy is a lazy man strategy. And I know there's lots of people out there that actually have an advisor. They've sold you some stocks or mutual funds or ETFs or whatever it may be. And then they will not make a change unless you call them or you sit down face to face.
Right.
Very seldom do you get guys that are actually going to be very proactive with portfolio management. And there's a lot of problems with that, because as the economic landscape shifts and changes quickly, as we've seen just in the last, you know, couple years, you need to be able to adapt and make moves.
The biggest thing, even for us when I started, was the fact that people were sold mutual funds for a load charge.
Yep.
But I was amazed by advisors that never changed the funds, even when they fell to the bottom quartile and stayed there, never made a change, never rebalanced a portfolio. So if you wanted to be 50% in stocks and now you were 80, nobody looked again.
But Rich, that doesn't matter. You can't time these things. And you know what? You just don't know what's going to work. So you need to buy them all. Right? That's what you
hear.
But
that is really what it is. It's a cop out to say, I need to own every asset class, every industry, and so forth. And if something goes wrong,
And it will.
Listen, you can't blame me. I was in everything. Well, you just blame the market. So it really takes responsibility off of your advisor.
Well, it allows them to go sell something else.
Well, and again, there are advisors, and we know a lot of good ones, who actually do spend time managing the portfolio and watching trends and doing the right thing. But let me tell you, you're going to go to a big box financial place and invest your money, it's going to be thrown into an allocation and it's set and forget. And I will tell you, that's worked. There are periods or cycles that will absolutely work for you.
This year's one of them, right?
Well, the last decade has worked for you. Okay.
Yeah.
But eventually it's not. And when it doesn't, remember one thing. To a stock, to the market, to anybody who represents the market and not you, it's going to come back. Markets always come back. Okay. Markets are infinite. They will come back. That is not an untrue statement. It's the amount of time it will take to recover. And you may not have that time, right?
That's absolutely right.
So that's the problem you have, is who is the financial partner representing? The firm and the market, or you? And that is very important. When you work with a fiduciary, it's about you. So if you want to place a trade and you've done your research, listen, people that just go buy stuff because their friend said to buy it, well, you deserve what you get. That is luck. And let me say that every investment is a leap of faith. You can do all the homework in the world, buy an investment, own a stock, and the next day it gets cut in half. You do not know. The homework at least gives you some edge. But listen, once you make an investment, it is a leap of faith. But there are people that just listen to somebody else, yep, and they got to buy it. Even though I say, well, when you ask the question why, they don't have any answers, as opposed to some people that I work with that have brokerage accounts elsewhere, and they say, well, I want to buy XYZ. And I'm like, well, give me the reasons. And they gave me the reason. I'm like, you know what? Those are really good reasons. You've actually have done your homework.
Yeah.
But don't be deemed a traitor just because you ask a question, just because you want to sell something you're not comfortable with, just because you buy something that you've done the homework and you believe in. That does not make you a traitor, okay? Or a traitor.
Well, trading's not traitor. Yeah.
To the broker.
Trading's not bad, but like you said, have that reason for it. But have that reason to sell as well. So don't do it based on emotion. Do it based on the actual facts. So many times when you've talked to the neighbor and they say, hey, look, I'm an XYZ, it's gone up, you know, 50%. And then you go jump in. Well, guess what? You missed out on all those gains. You may not see that. That momentum may continue.
May or may not, to your point.
You know, so you need to find those reasons and make sure that this is an investment that's suitable for you at this stage and at this time, right? And then you need to know how to get out.
And again, even if you want to place money in over time, you probably don't have commissions anymore. So it's easy for you to say, I want to put $10,000 into this individual investment. Well, if it looks like it's richly priced and so forth, well, maybe you just start with $2,000. See how it goes. No one says you have to invest everything all at once. That's another thing that people seem to don't understand is when they go to sit with a financial person on a Monday and they give them a check, on Wednesday, everything's invested.
Yeah, it doesn't have to work.
They don't
even
look at anything. Just throw it in there. And again, there are going to be cycles where that is going to work. But that's not any kind of market prowess or knowing more than anybody else. That is sheer luck and momentum and the cycle you're in. That is it. Remember, when you deal with the market, you have to be very humble. You have to realize that, and I see it on, I sent Lance, someone put something on Facebook. On my Facebook, I had to send it to him, snapshot.
Okay.
I said, this is what it's come to, where someone said, look, it's so easy to make money in the stock market. A two-year-old can do it. That was what this individual posted. When you get that kind of hubris, when you are that overconfident, you are setting yourself up. Danny and I have been doing this a long time. We spent a lot of time making sure that we know the market can humble us and take us down at any minute. And that's very, very important. Hey, when we get back, we're going to talk about a lot of things, some financial planning rules and some other stuff we hope you enjoy. Again, you're listening to The Real Investment Show on 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. Stay tuned for our last segment.
Catch the best of The Real Investment Show anytime, anywhere from Stitcher Smart Radio. Download podcasts of The Real Investment Show from Stitcher.com.
2019 is drawing to a close. Get ready for a successful 2020 with our RIA advisor's free financial planning tool, MyBlocks. It's our online modular manager for your money and your life. Does your vision of retirement match up to reality? MyBlocks can help to determine how much you'll need and how you can achieve. What worries you about your money? Create your own personal financial vision for the next decade with MyBlocks, our free tool at RIAAdvisors.com. Click on the Client Portal tab, RIAAdvisors.com. In case anybody wants to know what I really want for Christmas, there are these Calamity Wear mugs. They are very cool, by the way, okay? There's four mugs. They're porcelain mugs, and there's multi-calamity drawings on them, right? So it's like that old, your grandma's white china or porcelain mug with the blue flowers, except there's Hairy Fiend, Giant Frog, Pirates, the I've been called this before. Unpleasant blob creature. Voracious sea monster. Aggressive pterodactyl. Rambunctious robots. Oh, zombie poodles. And other suspicious animals and shrubs. So these are very, very cool.
These are right up your alley.
They really are.
So I just Googled them, and the first thing that came up, it says, things could be worse. You could have a calamity mug.
Just keeps everything in perspective.
The online tease for this ad, uh-huh. where this came from, is, oh, so your family's coming in for the holidays? Things could be worse.
How many of these have you been called in your life? Hairy Fiend, Giant Frog. Again, I've been called Hairy Fiend mm-hmm. and Unpleasant Blob Creature.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm about to probably be called something else that's not on this list. But
but is it in the drawing?
That's the thing.
Oh, I like this to say it's a classy way to curse. So this is perfect for if you're at the dinner table, everybody wants a cup of coffee.
No one will even look at these mugs, by the way. You know no one's going to even look at it. But that would be cool to see if someone actually notices.
They blend.
But what's fantastic is if you're at your Thanksgiving dinner and you have a family member maybe he's irking you a little bit, well, give them the mug of, tell them how you really feel. Here's what I think.
There's one with a UFO zapping a house.
A UFO?
Yeah, no, UFO. Zapping a house, which is pretty funny. So I have to just talk to this Don Moyer who created these and say, listen, I've got a whole new set of calamities for you. And
bet you haven't seen this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Follow me around for a week. So financial planning is really, I think, misunderstood many times. And I think that if you ask people or even people in the financial industry, we had someone that asked for a financial plan. And the gentleman said, okay, I'll be right back. And then gave the individual looking for the plan a long-term care insurance brochure. Because I think what happens is planning goes right to selling a product. No, there's a direct line between let's have a financial plan because I need to hit a goal and what can I sell you today? That is not the goal of a financial plan.
I've had a conversation with two different people this month who literally have asked their advisors for a plan. And they've came back with the long-term care, not just a pamphlet, but they actually went back to say, hey, you need this long-term care. Well, how did you know they needed long-term care? That's what the plan will typically tell you. It'll dictate maybe what you need or what you don't. And so we actually ran a plan and found that they were self-insured. There was no need for it. Yeah, and so that happens, unfortunately, more often than we'd like to think.
A plan is designed to see whether or not you do need life insurance. How much?
That's right.
You do need long-term care. How much? You do need disability income. How much? But it's like the cart before the horse. It's going to sell you the insurance, but how do I know how much insurance that you need?
Well,
I
and then
don't
for,
get the reason you need the plan.
And for what purposes is it used, right? So insurance is a big one where it's typically saying, oh, well, do 9 times your salary, or they'll have different, rules of thumb, essentially. And okay, that may be right for some term insurance or short-term things, right? But we talk about permanent life insurance quite a bit because I think it holds many different values in the sense that you could use it for income purposes. You can use it for a death benefit. You can use this to mitigate risk within a business. I mean, there's so many different things that we utilize these policies for. And so when somebody, it's funny, we'll get calls or emails and say, hey, you guys talked about long-term insurance. What's, give me a good one. It's like, whoa, I don't even know what you need it for. I mean, may not be proper for you to look at something like that. And that's what is so frustrating about the financial industry is we've gotten in where everything's at the tip of our fingers, right? Mm-hmm. And so everybody says, oh, well, just send it my way. And unfortunately, we don't do the time and the due diligence to find out if it's something that we truly need and if it fits our overall financial plan.
The unfortunate part is it's given certain investments a bad name.
It has.
And unfairly. And it's unfair to you only because there is a way to use certain products or insurance to mitigate certain risks. For example, annuities always get a bad rap. And Ken Fisher decided, big money manager, that he's going to capitalize on this by telling you annuities are bad. So what's smart about him is he's capitalizing on a big misleading blob of information, right? He's giving you something that really does validate what you feel, but you're uneducated enough to know what an annuity is. But you know it's bad because you heard it's bad. And people get sold annuities, and they're very confusing. People get sold things with all kinds of different riders or things attached to it, and they don't get it. When you have a plan, you understand whether or not you need an annuity. An annuity is a check for life. Do you need to recreate a pension, or are you able to do that through your variable assets, like your stocks and bonds, along with making sure you're making good decisions with Social Security? That is also what a plan is designed to do. So you don't buy any product, okay, you can use certain rules of thumb with insurance, right? You know, you have a child, you could do that. Heck, you can go to RIA Advisors and go up to the portal and go My Blocks, do your own homework on how much life insurance you might possibly need. But to Danny's point, there's a point where you might graduate from pure term insurance to more permanent life insurance. And there are reasons to utilize permanent life insurance that we try to educate people on. But again, it begins with the plan. And we, again, I just think more plans are done to sell the product. And also plans get a bad rap.
There's software designed to sell a product. I mean, it's so frustrating, right? Uh-huh. I mean, there'll be an analysis say, well, look, here's how much you need to put into the annuity. And here's why it's great. And look, these annuities, a lot of them aren't bad, but they are very confusing. They are typically sold. They're not planned for. And, you know, I would say, Richard, 9 out of 10 times I visit with somebody who has an annuity, they don't understand it.
They don't understand it. It's never explained to them again, nor is it ever looked at
that's
again.
Right. Do you remember back in the day they used to have, what was it, ING? I mean, we don't have ING anymore. But you remember they had the lion? And they had a 7% rider on a variable annuity. And it was an income rider. And so I'd visit with people and say, man, I'm making 7%. Oh, really? I know exactly where they were because it was a hot thing at the time. I'd say, well, tell me more about it. And this was, 2004 or 5 maybe 6. And you'd start to find out, I'm making 7%. Well, tell me, how's this work? Well, I get 7% every year and I can take that money out. Well, can you? And so we'd start breaking it down. I say, this was never explained like this. They just told me I made 7%. Well, you made 7% on your income rider. If you wanted to take income distributions, mm-hmm. that's what you could take.
And
not on your actual.
But that could still work. As long as you understand it.
But right, it was very misunderstood that most people thought that when they took their money out, they'd get 7% every single year.
It's a return.
And they'd be able to walk away with it.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, the account balance and the income benefit balance is going to be something that's completely different. And so that is what's frustrating or confusing about them.
Absolutely.
And that's why I think people feel like they've been taken advantage of. And, you know, a lot of times I see good annuities go to waste, too, because somebody buys them and they put all these riders on them. Visited with somebody, you know, a couple months back, and we looked at their family or their parents had a annuity. And I want to say that just the regular charges were 3.95% before you got to the sub-account. So the mutual fund fees.
Yeah.
So you're probably looking at 5% every year. Mm-hmm. And they never turned on the rider.
The riders are something that are like attached. Like think when you buy your car, you want certain bells and whistles. But riders have to, like when you consider bells and whistles for your car, you go through them. Do I really want this? Do I need navigate? Do I need this? It's the same thing with an annuity. Do I need certain riders? There are some that are just sold and people don't utilize them to your point, and then they're attached to all these fees forever.
Yep.
But long-term care riders can be very helpful. Listen, income riders can be helpful because, listen, if your plan is not, you do a financial plan and the plan says, oh my gosh, you're going to outlive your money. You're going to live to 100 years old. You've taken the test. You're healthy, or you haven't saved enough. Well, you have a good chance of running out of money. That's where an annuity comes into play, or an income annuity, because then you know, along with Social Security, you're getting a check for life. No matter what happens to your 401k or whatever, you know, you haven't saved enough and you might exhaust that. The annuity can't be exhausted. And Social Security won't be either. You will get those checks.
If you annuitize
it,
you do it right.
If you annuitize and you do it right. But you need to understand it. So there are a lot of good investments out there or products out there that are missold. And then people don't take advantage of them because they've heard bad things. And that's where a plan can help you, especially with a fiduciary, to understand how this all works together. And what a fiduciary is designed to do is tell you, you don't need this annuity. You don't need an annuity. You don't need long-term care because here's why. And because the information is designed to help you, the end goal is not to sell the product. So the plan is not a loss leader. The plan is there to actually help you make your goals or the goals that you have.
Yeah. And at that point, I think it's not a product because you're not being sold. It is a solution, right? And
yes,
it's a solution to this problem or this objective that you're trying to meet. And I think that's where, you know, looking at these things, life gets a little bit easier and you take some of the confusingness out of it, right? Because you're not being sold. You're actually understanding why you're using something. It's not a big sales pitch. And I think that's what the huge part about investing in some of those types of products is. making sure you really understand, making sure that you're educated.
Yes.
And you're using it for all the right reasons. And you know, if you're going to turn something on, when you're going to do it. You have a plan and a strategy for it. Not just going to be something that you set it and forget.
Now, if you have been sold an annuity or you have insurance, you really should sit with someone to assess it. Because maybe you're not utilizing it properly, or maybe you don't realize you have a really like a gold mine there and you didn't realize it. Or maybe you need to switch into something better. That's where a fiduciary can also help you to make good decisions. Check out Lance's newsletter this weekend. Go to realinvestmentadvice.com. Check out the blog. Lots of good writing by Michael Leibowitz and everybody else who writes on the blog. Hey, you've been listening to The Real Investment Show here on 700 KSCV. Chris Salcedo's next. We hope you have a great weekend. Be safe, everybody. Money, money, money. Must be funny. Get a rich fast.